Dumelang Thabela, hello and welcome to this week's news wrap-up brought to you by the SL Cabinet. I am your host today, Gwena Mashale, joined by my colleagues Nandine Tini and Herman Malloy. Guys, say hi.
Hello.
We are the youth of today, bringing you all things new and current affairs through our eyes. I hope you guys stick with us as we look at the week's biggest stories, talk about the controversies and laugh about the weird ones. Let's get comfortable and let's dive right in. So first up on the list, obviously, Gayton McKenzie, guys. Gayton McKenzie is always doing something. He's always in the news for something. So this time he's been trending on Twitter after it was revealed that he spent quite a lot of money for his trips for him going to basically Paris during the Olympics, and he's basically come under scrutiny for spending close to over 800,000 rand, right? And this, basically, McKenzie defended his expenses, saying that no, it's basically government work. He was literally doing his job. That's what he says. So basically, then he goes on to say that no, he's not even Mama Joy. Basically, he says he did this whole comparison when he was basically addressing the whole 100 days in office. Here is McKenzie explaining why he attended the 2024 Paris Olympics.
My first trip as a minister, the first one as a minister, not as a person, as a minister, was to the Olympics. I came a week before the Olympics start. I attended 6 different meetings. I attended a meeting with the Minister of Azerbaijan. I attended a meeting with the African ministers. I've attended a meeting with the Commonwealth ministers. I've attended the opening ceremony. I've also attended a meeting standing in for the Minister of Police, where they had all the police there. So I had 6 meetings I had to attend. Now, before the opening ceremony, the rugby already started, for those that don't know. So I went to go and watch the 7th rugby. Then when the Olympics started, I sat in the rain so that our athletes also can have somebody screaming for them there. And then I realized, because I was so excited for this new job I have, I want to learn, I'm going to come back. I'm probably the only minister in the world of sport that was not at the Olympics. Now, where do you get the joyriding from? So I want to make it very clear. I came back, not because I was forced to come back. There was nothing wrong with me being there. Now he's going to sporting events. That's my job. Do you want me to go look at cabbages and the agriculture? That is the job of Mr. John Steenhuisen, to look at the farms. You can't. That's my job, to go to sporting events. I didn't go to the Paralympics, and that's not an achievement, not to go. And I'm still going to go to all the sporting events, because that's government. Now you want to portray me as a person that's taking a joyride. That thing you can do with other ministers. You've chosen the wrong one. Because I'm flying first class all the time, with my own money. And now I must fly business class. So it's not an upgrade for me, it's a downgrade. Locally, I fly like business class. But as a minister, you must fly economy class. The other day I was flying with my partner. And she said, can't we book you? Because my knees are so long. Because I can't sit now and then, I must stand up so that I can. But that's what the ministerial handbook demands of me. It demands of me to fly business class, economy class locally. I fly twice a week and I fly economy class. Internationally, the ministerial handbook demands of me to fly business and not first class. I'm mentioning this so that people can know I've not done anything outside the ministerial handbook.
But basically just says that he followed the handbook, ministerial office, and he did nothing wrong. What are your thoughts, guys?
But also to say that he's not Mama Joy, why would he compare himself
to
Mama Joy?
He's making an example to say that Mama Joy doesn't have rules. He has rules to follow. And his rules were go overseas, do international work, and basically establish yourself as a sports minister.
Yeah, I get that. But why is he on Mama Joy? Like, why?
Guys, I think Mama Joy is a perfect
It's not about the money, it's Mama Joy.
It felt disrespectful, honestly. Like, I'm not Mama Joy. I'm not a super fan. I'm the sports minister. Yes, we do know that Vele, he was supposed to go there. Yeah, he spent it. And there are more people who spent more than he had.
There are more people who spent more than he had.
And he even says, it's on flights and it's on doing what. Mm. And all. So, yeah, he should not be disrespectful.
So, Unandi is not about the money. It's about Mama Joy. So, for me, it's two things. Nee. Mm. It's tax money. Mm. And when it involves tax money, I always care. Because, our salary, when you look at it, it's fancy. But once tax is deducted, it becomes hell.
Yeah.
And then secondly, guys, he was going there for a meeting. Mm. We don't know if the meeting had any fruitful fruits at the end. Mm. And then he went there. Go Pace, because they saw him at Pace and they saw him at the Olympics and they said, oh, you're attending Olympics. Mm. But he was not there for that. And again, if he went to the meeting and didn't go there to say hi, guys, we'll complain to them. Why didn't you go and say hi?
Exactly.
So yeah, it's two things again.
I think I would like to say that I think as South Africans, we just tend to complain because we can't complain. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to not complain. I'm saying yes, in regards to tax money, it's relevant. It's our money. It's our money, right? And we need to definitely, obviously, be a scrutiny about it. But my thing is that then why? Then what is the problem? Then is the ministers not supposed to travel? Because we know there are ministers there. We know there are politicians who go overseas to Russia with our tax man. Who go to the medical aids with our tax man. Like we know that they get certain privileges with our tax money, and yet. Like, we get so bent over view because a guy decided to be transparent. I think that's the thing. He was transparent. Obviously, yes, it was asked in a parliamentary question. And then he even went forward as to explain it on Twitter. We all know he's very much Twitter fingers. Like he went as far as explaining on Twitter and saying, no, guys, this is what happened. So my thing is that is the transparency part an issue? Because I think half of the time we are used to ministers not telling us how much they spend. We're not used to ministers telling us, no, I went to being basically public about what they do overseas. I mean, we don't know what John Stein has and did in Italy at the agro.
We still don't know.
We still don't know, but we apparently must understand was beneficial for the country because he was there for Agri Forum G7 or whatever it's called. You understand? When Ramaphosa, obviously, I can't compare Ramaphosa to minister.
But still,
it's the same thing. When Ramaphosa goes to New York for those BRICS or the economic whatever. We don't know how much they spend, but we know it's a lot of money. We know it's a lot of money, and we know that money, that jet fuel, that airplane, that is public tax money. And so I think my concern here is that, is it because he's transparent?
But then the people's chance or the people's argument is not about going there, because we all know that they are traveling.
Mm.
The concern is the amount of what. Even the breakdown, there was ground transporting for that, and it was, I think, 400 and something.
1,000, yeah.
Yeah, so you see, the chant is really about how you use money. But again, he explained yesterday to say, I didn't know, and maybe if I knew, I was going to prefer something cheap, something light. We don't know. We are assuming.
And guys, let's
so our chant is always about how you spend the money. How much you spend.
Yeah, we just wanted to put a disclaimer out there that we are not Gaten apologists, but we're just saying that we need to look at it at a fair scale. And also, I think, guys, let's not lie, up in France is more expensive than our country. So we might see a car, at that side, the transport that you should have used is 30,000. Maybe that side, it doubles because economy-wise, it's more expensive. I mean, also, it's Paris. So it must be more expensive to just get one car or one taxi. You know, I don't know. But I mean, I assume they used maybe a minibus. But we'll move on, guys. So another high official on that rank, guys. ANC seems to, you know, I think this year we've just been seeing a lot of ANC officials going to court. We've been seeing a lot of ANC officials just getting caught in a lot of things. Upule Mave is the latest ANC member facing corruption charges, and he's said to be stepping aside. Has he stepped aside, Herman?
So Upule Mave said that he is planning to or intending to step aside.
Mm-hmm.
He said once he was formally charged, he sent the letter to ANC SG Fikile Mabitso, Fikile Mbalula, to say, "Guy, I'm about to step aside because of the resolutions that says I must resign." So the case basically is that in 2017, the company that he is a director, or he was part of the director, got a tender, unlawfully so. And also it was paid before it can render the services. So the NPA says, okay, yeah, you might have delivered, your company might have delivered.
Mm-hmm.
But first thing, you didn't disclose about who you are part of the company that might have influence in the tendering. And also they are saying, when we record your invoices, it was not advance payment. It was like payments that we were under the impression that services was rendered and then you got the money. But then it's not that. It's not that the case. So basically, that's what this, the state alleges. And they are saying, Echo, although you gave us 196 karikis, only four were left. But now those karikis are stored there and they are destroyed, and they are not helping the, or benefiting the community or the county. So yeah, I say, no, because now I'm facing the charges, it means I did something and I need to explain. Like, he's basically saying, I did nothing wrong in terms of the law, but I appreciate the point that I'm here because now I have to explain how these things work. He's basically arguing that, and then that's basically the case.
Mabe addressed the media after proceedings on Wednesday. Here is what he had to say.
We are being told today that it constitutes a crime to give our wives monies and legitimately in business dealings. So we'll hear how that becomes a crime. I was never part of any government department where I would have signed off an appointment to myself or anything like that. When I went to Parliament, I did what is expected of us. I resigned my directorship from Enviromobi at the time. I did not dissociate with Enviromobi. I just resigned as a director because I'm expected to do so when I take up public office. So sometimes in 2019, some chaps from the SIU tried their luck, went into one of the suppliers we're working with to help with the building of our karikis, trying to chase. You see, if you have got a case against a person, don't behave like a fisherman. Don't carry a rod trying to check where you'll find the biggest fish. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. If you believe that an individual has got a case to answer, do so. You don't go out of your way to create cases where they don't exist. It is not our job to talk about the merits or demerits of the case.
You know what? Like, these ANC officials never seem to shock me. I mean, Uzizi as well, also, he himself also saying, I did nothing wrong.
Yeah, I said,
like, we're expecting
them
phones. Yeah.
He said, my friend gave me money.
And so, I was denied that.
So, I'm not sure about the details because this, the state still needs to build their case.
Mm.
But they are saying, the wife is also involved, Mabi's wife.
Mm.
They say you are involved because you got the money that was from the company, the company that is in question.
Mm.
So I'm like, hey, chief, when I'm giving my girlfriend money, now she needs to ask her, hey, man,
That's actually a good question. Like, by association, just by me giving the money, how? Am I also involved? Because then how do I, as a wife, know where you took your money? If you say you got the money from Ijobo, okay.
And plus, I know my husband is working. So
exactly, but he can't be earning 25k and then jiggy get 100k out of nowhere and say no, baby.
But then do you believe that he gets 25k? I mean, I don't believe that. Who's paying? I think ANC pays more than Kenya. I think even not the ANC, but then I like to believe that. He has shares somewhere.
Honestly, these ANC guys keep playing, guys. They just, and I love the fact that now one by one, the law is picking them out.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, oops. Yeah. And it's like, I love it. Nandi,
no, I think you are right there, Gwena. Like, it's one by one. Mm. We're dealing with you, like, bit by bit, then we'll come to you. I also believe.
Hopefully, you know.
Yeah, but the arm of the law, there's long arm, whatever.
Yeah, but something like that.
The arm of the law is long.
But Uksala, it's gonna get to you at some point, and hopefully, you know, it also gets to the others that we also
just
see.
Hope it's not too late.
Hopefully, it's
and it got to Mackenzie. Although Nandi's not concerned. Nandi's only concerned about the comment.
Hey, guys. So, hey, man. We keep it moving, you know. We keep it moving with the high official. Guys. Yo. Guys, there's a lot going on at EFF. Shem.
I feel sorry for
that. Going through a lot, eh? I mean, two MPs resign from Parliament. U Fadne Mokwena and Ubusi Magwebani. They resigned. Mokwebani made the announcement on the Sizwe Mpofu Walsh podcast. Let's take a listen to that.
I'll be resigning soon from the EFF. Then it means also I'm resigning from Parliament. You know, we've seen GNU with the advocate Mokwebani because ANC voted with the DA and they managed to remove me. Being in Parliament again, it's so terrible that when you don't have numbers, there's nothing you can do.
I have to ask you about MK Party.
Well, they've approached me several times.
Well, did Makopena resign?
Mokwebane
resigned as well as Mokwebane resigned.
EFF Parliament also. But Ufana
has yet to confirm that he is quitting EFF. I guess, like I said, we just want to also put a disclaimer. Allegedly, we don't know if he quits or not, but we're just going to just like do a side eye moment for that one because we all know where it's going to go. It's after the elections. It's been a very, very sad down spiral at the EFF headquarters, guys. There's something wrong in that organization. There's something wrong in that political party. I don't know what Malami needs to do to change it. I don't know. Does he need to reshuffle? Like, who's the final high official that's left there that he can trust not to leave?
Lozi is the one. When he leaves,
let's hope Lozi doesn't leave. Let's hope.
Won't leave, ne?
So, why the question that you raised, ne, about elections and everything, it's a statement, not a question. So, do you think these guys voted for EFF?
Why is question? Did they vote?
Because I think that is a very, I think it's a very like important question.
Do you think they voted for? And he was like, no, when I get OC, after 2 weeks.
I think they must. Don't they? Can't they? Do they vote against each other? Can they vote against their own party?
It's a secret. You can just.
So, I feel like it's an obligation. You are in the party. You must vote for your party.
My chant over the years, it's like I was like, Malema is not ready for president. I saw from him he was not ready. So I always thought, you know what? This guy is immobilized and everything. But when he gets there at the ballot center and he's alone, he's saying, Chief, I'm not ready to represent.
I think the EFF is a good opposition party. They play the opposition very well. They play the bulldogs very well. You know, they keep people accountable. But I think in certain situations, like, I agree with him, and you can't really see Malema as president, but you wouldn't think that his own party would not see him as also as president.
And guys, we're not saying anything is wrong with
Malema. Definitely not. Just
that, I believe that he's not ready. Yes, one day I'll to see him as a president to see what he offers for the country. But for now, I don't think he's capable of and not because of he lacks something.
There's still something missing. I think that's what him and Sandy say. There's something missing, Nandi.
No, I also think there's something missing. I wouldn't, like, at this point, if they say Malema would come into presidency, I would crush him. I like to believe that, like, he is an irrational leader.
My thoughts is that I think Malema is radical in certain situations, but I wouldn't put it radical in a good way. Sometimes it works against her.
Yeah.
It works against him. And I don't know if that's the situation that's going on in EFF or if now he's a metal out, he's actually having to fight for his colleagues, for his comrades to stay. And it hurts to see such a guy who came so far. And Bamitamang Ushivambo, they created the party together. Well,
you know what's funny with the whole situation? Is the fact that Umalema had gone to farming and left politics after he was expelled. And then Floyd was suspended at the time.
Yeah,
the other one was expelled, the other one was suspended. And then this one, Ushibambu, went to Malema to say, hey, Joe, let's form a political party. Let's call it Economic Freedom Fighters. And now, Chief, you are leaving me.
How?
The idea. Now you are leaving me. Like, what am I supposed to do? Because, like, you fetched me from the farm.
Exactly.
And you said, Chief, let's do this thing.
Let's do this thing.
And then next thing, you're like, don't hey, want. Chief, you are alone.
You're bailing me.
I just hope it doesn't end up like Cope. So,
I really hope it doesn't end up like Cope. I don't know what I genuinely hope.
What are you saying about Cope?
I hope it doesn't end up like IFP. We all know what goes on in IFP. IFP now is being in KZN. Thank you. You said what you needed to say.
Let's
move on, Herman. We'll see how that goes, guys. But anyway. Guys, as we stick to sad news, well, not sad news, but more depressing news, guys. Hammarskraal, guys, there's nothing that is improving in Hammarskraal. It just keeps going down and down. Like, it keeps getting worse and worse. Guys, and I'm so sorry to people who live in Hammarskraal. Disclaimer, I'm about to say the most, maybe the meanest thing I've ever said about a place. Maraisham. Hammarskraal. Hi, guys. Like, yo.
End it there.
That's time I have a friend in Hammarskraal. Hammarskraal Yankha, guys. Yes, sir.
End it there. Yeah, true. Yes, the situation in Hammarskraal, I mean, it's very bad, true.
Yo.
And to think of it, it's like over 2 decades.
Dude.
They have been living like this. Well, even when you enter, when you see the board that says Hammarskraal, you get a sense, oh, you are in
Hammarskraal.
There's a smell that welcomes you. You are in Hammarskraal.
But what's the real problem?
I don't understand. I think
it's Zooival. Once they fix Zooival, everything will be fine.
It's, and the thing is, I feel like because of the fact that Zooival is not fixed, it's putting pressure on the other plants. And now I think there was they're trying to fix the Leeugraal. The Leeugraal dam. Your night's already it's polluted with maybe it's like sewage. So they have to clean that one up. And that's actually what's causing this lack of water now for this past 2 weeks. Mm. That they have to clean this up. I think it's also after the pyramid substation that blew up as well. I think in September there. So like they're forever being hit with problems on problems on problems, guys. And it's just strenuous and it's horrible. And I wouldn't want to live in Hammarskraal. I'm so sorry. I would not.
No one wants to live there. Even the people in there,
Imagine having to buy your water. Well, I guess normal people.
Yeah, we buy water,
but they have to do it religiously to a point where it's their livelihood. Like ever graduate today, salary today again. They have to budget that
for what?
I have to go buy water.
It's bad because, I mean, we buy water to drink water. Mm. But they have to buy water so that they can wash white
and
clothes.
That's, like, it's another expense.
They buy water because the water that comes from their tap, it's stinking. They buy water because some days they don't have water. Some months.
Sure.
So for them, it's very worse, Joe. Like, when you have water, it's contaminated. When you have water, it causes cholera. When you have water, it's not clean. When you have water, you can't use the water.
You can't. It's just there.
It's just literally there. Because I was there on, as it yesterday, on Thursday, and I was visiting the Jubilee Hospital because Jubilee is also impacted by this lack of water. And the CEO says they are trying as much as they can to help and to still stay afloat. Malibona, now they are also now heavily dependent on the Jojo tanks and on these water tanks that come that deliver the water.
On Monday we had about 30 school children that had query food poisoning, they had eaten chocolate and whatever. We had to ask for diversion because the hospital was extremely full, including the triage area. But for now, we check in the morning, we do walkabouts in the morning, then we check how many patients are we having and if maybe there is a need for discharges. The doctors, after they did the rounds, they discharge, then patients are being moved from casualty to the hospital. Yeah, but the only critical area for now is our operations.
So imagine the whole hospital surviving on 6 Jojo tanks that need to be refilled every day, twice a day. And also, they can't help people. And now on top of that, they had to stop the surgery. But our mates, so we can't do surgeries.
Sure.
We're only doing emergency surgeries.
It's always about hygiene. If you can't wash your equipment, if you
it's bad. That's more risky. True.
Yeah.
It's very bad, guys. And I think you're. I don't know, guys, what's happening in 20, but it needs to change.
Let's hope the new mayor has everything in store to improve the lives of people in Hammanskraal, because Hammanskraal is bad. And honestly, they were supposed to get the temporary plant in a few days. Will save their water. I don't see it coming.
There'll be another delay somehow, somewhere. But we'll see, guys. Hey, moving on, guys. Again, another high official. We lose another one, guys. And I think with this one, it was one that not only did the political parties kind of like be like support behind or do some sort of memorial for him, but it was also the thing, the whole country was mourning. Not only in shock, but it was a really? Uncle Mboweni is dead. It's so sad because everybody was like, oh my gosh, this man who we used to see cutting fish, Bear Seven Colors with his nice those type of pots, he was always setting it up and he was just so fun to watch, to see. And guys, shame, you see this one now, I can fully say fully with my chest and say we lost a great legacy, guys.
Better say I'm joking. But for me, yes, Didu Mbeweni did a lot of great things for the country as a governor and as a labor minister and also as a finance minister. So I mean, even his legacy is not painted with corruption, misuse of funds and everything. So I like to keep it professional. We knew him from his professional point of view. We saw the Twitter, but then the Twitter also, it's not a light thing because we've seen many depressed people who pretending to be happy on socials just to pass time or do whatever they are doing. May his soul rest in peace.
Guys, but they had a memorial service for him yesterday in Limpopo, Zanin, my hometown, guys. So they had a whole memorial service for him. It was very long. There was a lot of comrades there to support him. His family was there as well. So it was a lovely memorial. Prior to that, there were days they visited his home. And Fikile Mbalula just said a few comments that basically saying that Mboweni leaves the country with a great legacy, just like I said.
Tito is leaving us with a great legacy. And I'm not saying in a patronizing, great legacy. This man was never held in front of our nation for any corrupt activity. He was a man who lived a simple life, who went on with his life, and who loved his people. That's what Tito, who he was. He loved his people. And then when he was a minister, eh, was bulalanga austerity measures lomt. Was qabelisa economy. Wathatha ama credit card ama ministers. Sashaka ne blue light kuphela. Utito Mboweni. So I like that song of Kaspar Nyovest, Tito Mboweni. Shasha. And then when he became Minister of Finance, he implemented strict austerity measures. And that's what he did. And then we were driving cars at 2 million, 1.2 million. Tito Mboweni was taking his motor to 700,000. Was Lisa Ezindaweni. What, comrades, we must come to this point. That was Tito. And I'm saying that in our government, which I had an opportunity appointed by President Ramaphosa to serve with him, he implemented those austerity measures. Come nandi.
So yeah, guys, like Uhemen says, let him rest in peace. Well, we obviously hope he rests in peace.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wish his family, like condolences to everyone.
Send condolences.
Condolences to the country. We lost a great one.
condolences.
Can you even spell it?
Yes, used to chow me.
Okay, guys. Hey, hi, guys. Oh, guys, I think like at this point we keep going to like more depressing stuff. But anyway, it's news, guys. It's the news of the week.
Mm.
So, a Sharpeville resident believed to be part of a group of locals, né, who have been trying to basically drive foreign nationals out of the community due to spaza shops and you know the whole thing that actually triggered it was in the five children who died in Lalede.
Mm.
So the guy was shot. Ne? Nandi, I understand that's what happened.
Yeah. The guy was shot on Wednesday.
Mm.
So one of the municipalities said that the foreign nationals were actually retaliating because they did not want to evacuate their stores.
Mm.
So that, like, that's where they shot this business owner. And then yesterday, the community gay just went on and terrorized their shops, attacking them and just chasing them out of their shops.
And one person ended up getting shot.
Yeah, another person ended up getting shot in the leg and he was crying there. But yeah.
Hey, here's my thing as well. You know, I understand that, you know, in a country like ours, we need to, how can I say, to protect ourselves. We can say we need to protect ourselves. But my discussion here is having a gun always the answer?
Mm-hmm.
As a spaza owner, why do you have a MK-47?
Like, why?
Not even, I understand AK. If it's a AK. Ne?
MK.
No, kid, I want the big one. Like, really. What I'm trying to say is that, it's the small ones. Ne? We can, the 9mm. Yeah, you see, the 9mm, I can see. It's a self-defense weapon. It's fine. You want to have it in your shop. We all know the crime happens now.
Mm.
These days, people just come and shoot you in your spaza shop. Sharp, you know. But a whole rifle. Have you guys seen those videos of these guys literally walking with it strapped there? Then they have ammo around their necks. Okay, they are going to war. Guys, no, like the gun violence in our country is out.
It's worsening.
Like even the guy who got shot, I don't think it was necessary for him to get shot. There was no way for him to get shot. There was no gun involved in that
incident.
Situation.
Yeah, I don't. There was no gun involved.
There was no. There was not. There was no instigation for it. Hemen.
For me. the guy that was shot, it's a sad story. I mean, but then guys, there's more into this. I mean, at the same time, Brokenspade, they were banning shop. They were banning stock of foreigners because of alleged food poisoning. Mm-hmm. It's always a case of food poisoning when it comes to this foreign nationals and South Africans going head to head with each other.
Yeah.
It is because of food poisoning. So, I mean, the question remains, what is actually happening?
Maka, the funny part, they were taking that food to their homes.
My thing is not even that.
Some people say, while he's taking the snacks to his place. And later on, he'll be watching news, ETV, saying, in Brackenspade, community members were angry fueling having this chance.
Sure.
While he's eating those snacks that he was earlier on claiming that, you know what?
It's confusing.
No, guys, I understand what you're saying, Nani, because at the same time, you're angry at these people, but at the same time, you support their businesses.
Yeah.
You are angry at them, but at the same time, you buy from them, your children.
And also, one of the municipality members, he said that we would go to the communities and the landlords would say, you will not give us what these Pakistans are giving us. So we will not chase them out.
No, but you know what's funny? That's the worst part. Because the last time when I was in Naledi, when I was doing that story, one of the community persons was like, hey, as much as these people are causing a row and they are doing all these noises, we know we're going to go buy bread. And it's not going to be a difference. And the thing is, I think what makes it even much worse is that because of the fact that these spaza shop owners, it's the old bakolotis.
Yeah.
Where a shop right ikolotis, Pick and Pay ikolotis.
And it's also far. It's also far. You know, shop right is like very far. And you have my friend shop at the
right
corner.
Here. So my thing is that like we're retaliating. I think when we need to really, like Nani saying, we really need to identify what the problem is. Well, actually, sorry, Ross, I meant we need to identify what the problem is, because we can't just go around now banning people's stock, banning when now having to resort to guns, and I'm gonna keep saying AK-47 and like, you know, those type of things. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense, and it's endangering the community, because at the end of the day, these people are gonna keep saying no them that one my child ate from the spaza shop. Can't if it's not even from the spaza shop, you know,
just where's the shoe. guys, yeah, it's always a question of we understand that these people sell at cheaper prices, and we also understand that they are closed. We understand that learners or pupils were taken to schools, but then let's not resort to violence. Let's sit down. That's fine. Because at the end of the day, you find that even that snake that you are claiming to be the cause of your child ending in hospital, it's not even that case. Because you wrote a story about Abantwana Bale
Alpirim.
And I'm sure when the news broke, this child was in hospital at the time, the community was fueling. They went after
Daniel,
my friend. Yeah, so I think we also need to get a sense of where they stock their things, so that we can track. I mean, if we're really gonna fight you because you're selling ama chips that are expired, let's also fight for your supplier.
Yeah.
We go to you, you show us your supplier. We go to your supplier, we do the same thing.
But what if supplier in macro?
We need to do the same thing. We go to Mago and protest if we have to protest. That's the only solution. I have some saying, if there's an incident, they're saying, okay, 100 kids ate this and they landed in a hospital, and we find, okay, we are alleging that Bajile go Daniel. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel, so I'm not trying to say Mago is saying Daniel is, but I'm making an example. Let's go to Mago and say, Chief Daniel or Regile Moe. The produce of this thing.
Yeah.
No, I get
and then
you
we
guys.
Get a solution.
But hopefully, I think I hope that the spaza shop things start to die out now, guys. Because
again, the bigger fight is that we know black people have been always, not black people, because foreigners are also black people, but most of South Africans have been saying, these guys are taking our jobs. So it's time to push them out. We know, we all know.
I'm not going to get into the topic of foreign nationals taking people's jobs, guys. I'm not going to get into that discussion. I exit, please. But let's close it, guys. But guys, thank you so much for joining us. That's all for this week's news wrap. Remember that you can find our latest podcast, review, and subscribe for free on Ayono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. This podcast is a Times Live production, and our producer is Demi Buzo. Don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcasts, Sunday Times, Politics Weekly, Taking the Rands by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, Gogo Have I Been Scammed, and 30 Years of Democracy. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more updates on your bigger stories. From me, Gwena, and my colleagues, Nandi and Herman. Bye.
Bye-bye.